message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will be a real blessing and help to you as we turn to Romans chapter number 11, verse number 25. Now, we've been looking, at least last week we began to look at Paul's concern that the believers not be ignorant about the dispensation of grace and about what God's doing today in the age of grace. When Paul says, I would not have, like he does in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And as I said last time, I heard a fellow years ago say that ignorant brethren is the world's largest denomination. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. The reason for that is that your Christian life won't operate on the basis of ignorance. It's designed to operate on the basis of an understanding, an intelligent understanding of what about the revelation that God has given you in the Word of God. You see, the Christian life doesn't operate on the basis of human viewpoint, the way you always thought it ought to go, the way that I would think it, or religious tradition, or some body of scholarship. It operates on the basis of revelation, the revealed truth of God's Word. When we rightly divide, it sets loose and liberates the Spirit of God to take the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bear that fruit in our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is the character and the attitude and the outlook and the life of Jesus Christ living through the believer. Well, when Paul says in Romans chapter 11, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. The idea is I want you to know about the mystery truth, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Now that's very important, because someone who's wise in their own conceits thinks that they're somebody they're not. They have a misunderstanding and a misconception. And the mystery truth that he wants you to know about is that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now that's a very interesting passage and a very important passage. It's a passage that world rulers and spiritual leaders as well need to take into consideration. If you're ignorant of this mystery, there are going to be some serious consequences both spiritually and politically. You see, we live in the dispensation of grace. We live in the mystery period, where there's been an interruption of the prophetic program. The nation Israel has no national status today before God. Now, they do currently in the world, but for almost 2,000 years, they didn't even have that. And they're not the chosen people of God today. And because of that interruption in the prophetic program, folks have come to think that God is somehow through with national Israel. Or maybe that you and I as believers today in the Lord Jesus Christ have become spiritual Israel and a replacement for Israel. But those things are not true. And this passage of Scripture warns against that kind of an idea. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God's purpose for the nation Israel has not been canceled. It's just been postponed for a while. When God Almighty formed the nation Israel way back in time past, and you're lucky today, somebody stole my chalk off the chalkboard. I can't draw anything for you. when God formed the nation Israel in time past, He did so so that they would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They are God's kingdom people, His kingdom nation. They're a group of people that God has designed and formed the nation for the purpose of making them a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a group of people who will be in the kingdom age when Christ comes back and redeems them as a nation, will be a national entity through whom Jesus Christ will rule and reign over the planet. But right now, that purpose, miraculously the chalk appeared again, that purpose, God formed the nation back here in time past, and as He formed the nation Israel, He formed them in order to be His kingdom people. Jesus Christ will come one day and set up a kingdom. And when Christ comes and sets that kingdom up, the nation Israel is his kingdom people. And it's a nation, folks. It's not just some, you know, mystical kind of a thing. A literal, physical, visible, earthly, Davidic kingdom here, through whom the nation Israel will be the agency through whom the Gentiles out here come to a knowledge of the Lord. In that kingdom age, for example, Isaiah says that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea. And out of Zion, out of Jerusalem, will go forth the word of the Lord, and the nations of the earth will come to Jerusalem to receive God's word. And God's purpose is to restore His authority over planet earth through the instrumentality of a kingdom given to the nation Israel. Currently, right now, where you and I are in the dispensation of grace, God has interrupted that prophetic purpose. This purpose back here in prophecy, where the prophets have looked out there and foretold, and looked over here and saw it and foretold about it. They told about the crucifixion of Christ. They told about His ascension, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They even told about the fall of Israel. They told about the tribulation and the Antichrist and all the rest, and then His coming in the kingdom over there. All of that prophetic program today has been interrupted, and God has put, as it were, a great parenthesis into the sentence of prophecy, and has been interrupted by the mystery. And this secret purpose that God had, a purpose that God had and purposed in Himself before the foundation of the world back here, but He didn't tell anybody about it until Jesus Christ from heaven's glory revealed it to Saul, saved Saul of Tarsus, made him Paul the Apostle, and through him revealed it to us today. This information is found in your Bible in Romans through Philemon. The information back here, you have Genesis through Malachi, and then you have Matthew through John for the earthly ministry of Christ, the book of Acts of the fall of Israel. Over here, you have Hebrews written, oddly enough, to Hebrews. Hebrews through Revelation that brings you up to date, brings this program up to date in light of this interruption in here. Where we are today in the dispensation of grace with the formation of the church, the body of Christ, where we are is right in here. And this is an interruption in the prophetic program. Prophecy was going along. God interrupted it with a parenthesis. Now, that parenthetical interruption doesn't mean that God is through with Israel. It just means that program's been interrupted for a while. One day this program here will be over with, and when it is, then the prophetic program will take up. Just like if you read a sentence with a parenthesis in it, you can read the sentence, read the parenthesis, and then read on, or you can read the sentence, skip the parenthesis, and finish the sentence out here, and the sentence is a complete unit in itself, and the parenthesis is a complete unit in itself that can be taken out, and you have the whole there. Now, you get the whole picture with the parenthesis in there. But this program here is not interrupted. The sentence doesn't end when you come to the parenthesis. The sentence ends when you come to the period over here at the end. While the mystery age, the dispensation of grace, is in here as a parenthesis, it is an interruption, not a cancellation of the prophetic program. Prophecy wasn't canceled. God didn't do away with Israel, decide He'll never finish His promises with them, and make us Israel. No, that isn't the issue at all. What happens is that God has interrupted the prophetic program today, and that He's set Israel aside and he's doing something different, and he's forming the body of Christ for a purpose that he has for us in the heavenly places to be a part of his heavenly kingdom out there in the ages to come. When the body of this agency, the body of Christ, is formed, we'll be taken into the heavens, and then he'll finish his purpose with Israel, his earthly people. Now, Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. This mystery truth that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Don't be wise in your conceits and miss the point. One day God's going to dump the Gentiles, drop the Gentiles, and he's going to go back and save Israel and establish them. And anybody that doesn't get a hold of that is barking up the wrong tree, Paul says. Now, you'll notice the verse is very interesting. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. God wants you to understand this. It's not that hard to get. Israel has been blinded. Blindness in part has happened to Israel for a season. Until something happens. It's also happened to Israel for a reason. So that the fullness of the Gentiles, the forming of this body of believers who will be the fullness of him that filleth all in all, is formed. Go back with me to Acts chapter number 13. This thing about them, Israel being blinded for a season and for a reason. If you look in Romans chapter number 13, when the Apostle Paul began his apostolic ministry in Acts 13, goes out on his first apostolic journey, the first miracle that he performed is a picture of what his ministry and the impact of his ministry is going to have in the purpose of God. If you go back to Acts chapter number 3 and you study the first miracle that the Apostle Peter does in his ministry in the book of Acts, you'll see that the first miracle that he performs is a miracle that demonstrates God's purpose through his ministry. And his miracle was the restoration of a lame man who was restored back to health and was able to go into the temple of God, leaping and praising God, just as Peter's ministry was a ministry of restoring lame and failing Israel, who would then accompany them into the kingdom, into the temple, leaping and praising God. The first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in his earthly ministry was the same kind of thing. It's a fascinating thing how that when God put your Bible together, he selected miracles, the first ones recorded in the ministry of Christ, the first one recorded in the ministry of Peter, and the first one recorded in the ministry of Paul were dispensationally significant in that they demonstrated in practical terms the doctrinal impact and the practical impact that the ministry of each of these men was going to have. In Acts 13, you'll see the ministry of Paul is demonstrated by the miracle that he performs. In Acts 13, verse number 6, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now that's, you got a good start. Bar-Jesus, son of Jehovah Savior, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called to Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymaeus the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. Well, this Bar-Jesus, this Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, son of Jehovah Savior, a good start, but he was an apostate. He was a sorcerer. He was not one in whom truth resided. He was one in whom false religion had taken over. And it says that Elymaeus the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Get the picture. Here's this Jew who has a position of religious authority. Here's a Gentile who he's with and ministering to, and the Gentile is looking to the Jew for guidance. The Gentile man, Sergius Paulus, hears about Barnabas and Paul out there preaching, and he desires to hear the word of God from them. And what happens? The Jew says, no, you can't hear it. And he resists the Gentile listening to the word of God through Paul. Then verse 9 says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun," underline it, "for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed," notice, "being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Now that miracle demonstrates some doctrine of the Lord. Here is a Jew who is rather than going on in the blessings that God had given to him and the hope that God had given him, he's gone into apostasy. He is in unbelief. He's rejected the truth of God. And when Paul comes along and tries to preach the word of God to some Gentiles, he withstands him. And so God blinds the Jew and sets him aside. And through the fall of that Jew and the blinding of that Jew, the Gentile hears the word of God and gets saved and is astonished at the doctrine that's taken place there. In Paul's ministry, it's through the fall of Israel that salvation goes to the Gentile. It's through the fall of Elymais that salvation goes to Sergius Paulus. Through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles. But you notice what Paul said when he pronounced the curse of blindness upon Elymais there. He said, "Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun forever." No, that isn't what it said, is it? Did you notice that? Verse number 11, "Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Because one day, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, "One day the Son of Righteousness shall arise unto his nation with healing in his wings." And when Jesus Christ comes back, it's like the sun coming up in the morning, and it will heal his nation, and they once again will see, and they'll trust their Messiah. But right now, what's happened? Blindness has happened in part unto Israel, until this program's over with. Until God has formed this agency, the body of Christ in here, until God has accomplished his reason for setting them aside, they'll be blinded for a season. Now that tells you that God isn't through with the nation Israel. That tells you that you and I, that he hasn't replaced Israel with the body of Christ. He hasn't done away with them permanently. We're not Israel. We're not spiritual Israel. We're not Israel's replacement and all the rest. Rather, this is a different program that God has in here, a different agency. His purpose and program with the nation Israel back here is still intact. It's just been interrupted, and it'll be fulfilled over there. They're blinded for a season, not forever. But they're also blinded for a reason, that the fullness of the Gentiles should come in. Come with me to Ephesians chapter number 1, and notice what that fullness of the Gentiles has reference to. Ephesians chapter 1. When he talks about the fullness of the Gentiles, he's talking about the salvation of the Gentiles. But there's something very special, the reason he uses that word fullness there. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that Ephesians 1, verse 19, Paul's praying for the Ephesians that they might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church, which is his body. The term church in your Bible is a generic term. It's like the term gospel. It doesn't necessarily refer to any specific group unless it's defined in the context. The word church, the Greek word, means called out ones. The English word means to belong to the Lord. You got a group of called out people who belong to the Lord, you got a church. You've got an assembly of God's people. Who are they? Acts chapter 7 talks about the church in the wilderness. the nation Israel was brought out of Egypt into the wilderness. They're God's people. They're called out, a called out of Egypt group. Group of people called out of Egypt who belong to the Lord. They're a church. Well, they're not the church, the body of Christ. They're a different church. They're the church that was founded on Moses bringing them out of Egypt. There is a kingdom church. Jesus says that to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." What church? The Messiah's church. Peter just said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You're the Messiah. On the confession that Peter made of Christ being the Messiah, on the fact of faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah, he said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he gives unto Peter the keys of the kingdom. You see, the church there is the kingdom church. Well, this church that's talked about here in Ephesians is the church which is his body. So there are at least three churches right there. So we know which one we're talking about here, because the verse says that he's been made head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now notice carefully, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Romans chapter number 11, verse 25, when he says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, Israel has been blinded for a reason. The reason is that God today is forming the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In the dispensation of grace, God Almighty is forming a new agency of believers called the church, the body of Christ. Come with me to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3 in one hand, and Colossians chapter number 2 in the other. Galatians 3 verse number 28. And Colossians chapter 3, verse number 11. Galatians 3, verse 28. Begin at verse number 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now you notice that is not a water baptism. There's no water ceremony going to put you into Christ. That baptism there is performed. It's the operation of God. It's performed by the Spirit of God. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There are a lot of different kind of baptisms in the Bible, and they're not all have to do with water. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 talks about the nation Israel, when they came across the Red Sea, were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, there's a baptism, the first one recorded in the Scripture, that had nothing to do with water. It's a dry baptism, no water involved in it at all. Every time you see the word baptize or baptism in the Bible, don't just say water, because they're not all water. Many of them are not. This one here in Galatians 3 has nothing to do with water. I mean, common sense tells you that water isn't going to put you into Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of God can. It's by one Spirit that we're all baptized into one body. There, in Christ, is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Now, folks, you know immediately if this baptism that puts you into Christ and being in Christ means there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, then you know immediately that the baptism and the being in Christ isn't physical, it's spiritual. "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's wonderful. You see, what happens is, what God's doing today is he's forming a body of believers, taking lost Jews and lost Gentiles all down here on a rejected basis, and taking the believers. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God the Spirit puts us into that body of believers called the body of Christ, puts us into spiritual living union with his Son. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10 says, "And have put on the new, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Where? In Christ. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." You understand, my friend, you and I aren't spiritual Jews today. We're not spiritual Israel. In Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile status. You couldn't be placed into Christ today and be made spiritual Israel, because in Christ, there is no spiritual Israel. There is no spiritual Gentile. But you're all a new species of humanity called the one new man, the new creature the body of Christ. Something brand new that God's doing. Oh, my friend, there's never been a day in all of God's history like today. There's never been a time in all the program of God like today. All you need to come to God today is to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's all you need. Paul said, don't be ignorant of this. Don't be ignorant of the fact that God isn't through with Israel. He's just interrupted Israel's program, and He'll finish with them. They're only been set aside. They're only blinded for a season, but they're blinded for a reason. And the reason is that God's forming a new agency today. He has Israel as His earthly agent to bring in His kingdom on the earth, but He's forming a new agency, the church, the body of Christ, to use in the heavenly places to restore the authority of Jesus Christ in the heavens. And my friend, you and I are made part of that. We're made a part of that body of Christ simply, not by works, not by some belonging to some special race or having some special religion or some rites or ceremonies. All you have to do to come to God today is come simply through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I. I can call on Jesus' name and a king can do the same. The ground is level. It's level at the foot of the cross. Have you ever trusted Him? Have you ever come to God His way? Have you ever come just simply to trust His Son as the Savior that He died for you to be? If you never have, right now, this moment, why don't you do it? If you've got a question, the address and the phone number will be on the screen in just a minute. Why don't you write us or call me? We'd be glad to sit with you over an open Bible and show you the answer from God's Word if you've got a question. But my friend, you don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to move a muscle. You don't need to pray. Just right there in the quietness of your own heart, you tell God you're going to trust His Son to be the Savior He died for you to be, and God will save you that instant. Let me hear from you that you've done that, will you? Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that you'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, When Did Grace Begin? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 204. That's tape offer number 204. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.